You gotta like Blue Gatorade though. Like,
is anybody?
Hold on, time out. Powerade, not Gatorade. Let's be honest. It's way different. Alright, real quick. But you have to be like thirsty. Not just like, oh, I could use a drink right now. But like, if you gave me a whole thing, I would down it as quickly as possible. Like so thirsty that your mouth is dry right now. Do I have anybody that is that thirsty? Anybody?
We need one guy and one girl.
Yeah, you look thirsty. I didn't ask if you loved Jesus. I asked if you were thirsty. What is wrong with you? I need a female that is thirsty. Are you thirsty? You look thirsty. Where are right in the spotlight, all right? Right there, don't move. I didn't even have to move you, that was talented. No, you're good. I didn't know you were that talented. All right, so here's the thing. You said you were thirsty, right? You said you were thirsty. Like, don't try to undo it yet. Little cheater, big cheater shit. All right, so my question is, are you so thirsty that you could drink that faster than her? And are you so thirsty that you can drink it faster than him? What's your name? Who thinks Josie is even more thirsty? And what's your name? Judah. Who thinks Judah's thirsty? I want you to put that drink right down by your feet so it's completely fair. I'm going to say 3, 2, 1, and on go. I want you to pick that up. I want you to uncap it. And I want you to drink until there is not another drop in there. Okay? Like, I want it all gone. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? 3, 2, 1, go. Well done, well done, well done. She seemed thirsty, right? She was able to down that like 2 minutes earlier than Judy. I'm just saying. Judy, you were slow, my boy. I'm just saying, if that was a sinking boat, you would have been dead. I'm just saying. It would have been done. So tonight, we want to talk to you about being thirsty. But I want to talk specifically about someone in the Bible that had a plan, went to accomplish the plan, and then it changed. Now, this woman that I'm going to talk about, you may have heard of the woman at the well. And I want to talk to you about the woman at the well just for a little bit. And I want to tell the story pretty quickly, and I'm going to paraphrase over it, okay? So if you're going to read it, I'm perfectly fine with it. It's in John 4. But I'm going to paraphrase it. Why? Because it's long, and I have a short attention span, okay? So here's how the story in my brain and the way the Bible tells it goes. There was a woman that was going to a well. Now, Jesus was on his way to a town, but stopped in the town of Samaria, where he sat at a well. Now, the woman then approaches this well to get water, and Jesus asks a simple question: can I have a drink? That woman was a Samaritan. Jesus was a Jew. The lady had an issue with that, because back in that day, those two people should not have gotten along. And so she asked Jesus a simple question, like, why you as a Jew would talk to me? And Jesus responds in a funny way. He said, if you knew who you were talking to, you would ask me for a drink of living water that would never end. And at that moment, it kind of clicks a little bit in her brain. And she says, oh, okay. This must be an important person. This may be somebody that's really important. And the Bible tells us that Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah, the one to come to save the world. Now, he also has another conversation with her. The conversation went a little like this. Hey, go get your husband. And the woman responds, I don't have a husband. And Jesus responds, you're right. You've had five, and the person you're living with right now isn't your husband. How would you like Jesus to call you out on something that you're doing wrong? I'm just saying, I don't know if I want Jesus in front of my face saying, hey, I see what you did. I understand what you did. It's all right. But that's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus said, you're right, you're not married, and you're living with a dude that's not your husband too. Now, in that moment, she has a lot of decisions to make. But she makes a decision to go get people. And the Bible tells us that because of her word, many in that town believed in Jesus. So tonight, we want to talk to you about three different points, three different things in that story that I want you to challenge yourself with.
So we're going to break this story apart a little bit. And so the first thing that we want to look at is, what was the first thing that happened? And the first thing that happened between Jesus and this woman was the encounter. They encountered one another. She was just doing something that she had planned to do in her daily life. She was not seeking out Jesus at that time. Jesus was seeking out her, but she wasn't seeking out Jesus. And when we were praying about this, when we were thinking about camp, sometimes, not all the time, but most of the time, there's campers that come here, and you know what? My mind might be seeking out Jesus. But Jesus is coming to seek out you. He's been seeking out you before you came to him.
Just a little bit. You see, Jesus knew her story before Jesus met her. Here's the thing. Jesus knows your story before you showed up here today. Jesus knows what you went through before you got in a car or a bus or a van to come to camp. Jesus knew what happened last week. Jesus knew what happened in the dark times. He knew what happened to school. He knew the words you were saying. He knows the actions you were doing. He knows all of that way before you showed up. And guess what? He says, I love you. Yeah. Above absolutely everything, he chose you. So the very first thing is the encounter. Guess what? You're in the middle of your encounter right now. What I want you to realize is it's a yes or no thing for you. Okay? What that means is you have come to camp. I can talk tonight. Pastor Courtney can talk tonight. Brandon can talk. We can do worship. But until you realize that Jesus is here for you, nothing's going to happen. So you have to make a yes decision. See, she had the decision when Jesus said, I need a drink, to be like, wait, our people aren't supposed to be talking. I'm going to walk away. I'm going to peace out to this situation. So here's what you can do. Jesus is going to talk to you, and you have the decision to say, yes, Jesus, or not today. So what encounter are you looking for tonight? I want to tell you a little bit about me. So I was 17 years old, and I was messing up pretty crazy. I grew up in church. I did everything that I was supposed to. I had accepted Jesus in my heart, and I had a relationship with Jesus, but I was doing some stuff that was a little bit messy, all right? In the middle of all of this messy stuff, I stole money from my parents, not just like 20 bucks out of a purse, but I stole a credit card, and I was ringing up a lot of money, all right? A lot of money. My parents found out, and they looked at me, and they said, you have two choices. One, you can go to camp. Now, I was 17. I was done with Jesus. I had told them to their face, Jesus isn't real, and I'm done with him. Now, I was raised in church. I did the whole church stuff. But at 17, I said, Jesus isn't real, and I'm completely done with Jesus and this fake thing that you call Christianity. So they gave me two choices. First choice, go to camp. Second choice was to skip camp and pay all the money back. Now, I don't know about you, but I stole upwards of $2,000 and $3,000 from my parents. As a 17-year-old, I did not have that money. But my parents were willing to pay for a camp for me to go to a camp for 2 weeks to be debt-free from. So I can tell you what my choice was. Simple, I'll go to camp. So I go to a camp. It was in Kansas City, Missouri, and I'm sitting in a seat. I just got checked in. And I'm sitting in a seat, no one around, my back's beside me, I'm sitting there waiting to be told what to do, and I have my face in my hands, and I simply said this, Jesus, if you're real, you have 2 weeks to prove it to me. After that, I'm done. Now, I'd love to tell you that Jesus did something amazing, all right? What I am going to tell you is while praying that prayer, a guy came and put his hand on my back and simply said these words. I don't know why, but God is telling me to tell you that he loves you and he's not done with you. He took his hand off me and he disappeared. Pretty amazing, right? I just get done praying something and in the middle of it, Jesus does something big. That was my encounter. All right? That was my encounter. And in that moment, head still in my hands, nobody around, nobody knowing what I prayed because it was inside, I said, Jesus, I'll serve you for the rest of my days. That was my encounter that I needed. Now, what's really cool after that is I found out who the guy was. And the guy's name was Paul, and he was my counselor. I never met the man in my life, and he had no clue who I was until I walked into his dorm. And he simply listened and said yes to his encounter with Jesus, which allowed me to listen and say yes. So, the very first thing I want to talk to you about is simply, today is your encounter.
So just like the woman at the well, like you guys have a choice of how you're going to handle that encounter. So then we look at the encounter and then we break the story apart and a little bit further into the story. The next step, the next thing that we saw in this story was the transparency. Now there was transparency on both parts, right? Because Jesus didn't just say, I need a drink of water. He wasn't just thirsty at the well, right? He came there with a bigger purpose. But then he took a step and he was transparent with her. He could have pretended like he was just a normal person, right? But he introduced himself and he started telling her about living water, about eternal life, and how she could have an eternal life where she would thirst no more, a living water. And so he starts to slowly reveal who he is to her. He starts to be transparent to her about how much he loves her, right? How much that he had a purpose for her. This wasn't an accident that he came there with a purpose that was going to be a life-altering moment for her. And so in that moment, he stepped out and he was transparent with her about his love, how it was unconditional. And God's love for us is the same way. He knew when he went there that she did not have her life together. And he knew when he met her, he knew everything about her. But that didn't change his perspective about her. And when we are going through struggles, when we're going through doubts, when we are confused, when we have stress and worry and all the things on our plate, we think there's no way that Jesus could love me. There's no way that Jesus would want an encounter with me if I'm not sure about how I feel about him. Jesus sought her out when he knew she wasn't sure about how she felt about him. She wasn't living in a way to show that she was sure that God could love her. Even in her mistakes, even in her doubt and her confusion, he loved her. And he met her where she was at. And he was transparent with her about that, that he loved her. And he still had a plan and a purpose. And he still wanted her to experience everything that he had for her, even though she wasn't walking in that at that moment. He was still seeking after her.
You see, Jesus, he doesn't overlook you in a situation that you're in. He doesn't stop thinking about you because you're out kayaking. He doesn't forget about you when you're alone in your room thinking about suicide. He doesn't take his eyes off of you when you're hurting and broken. See, Jesus sees through your situation. But the thing is, are you willing to be transparent with him? Are you willing to say, Jesus, I'm hurting? See, the woman at the well wasn't really transparent. When Jesus asked her to go get her husband,
Jesus, knowing full well that she wasn't married but living with a man, her response really wasn't transparent. Her response was, I don't have a husband. A lot of times that's how we respond when God is talking to us. I'm okay. Don't worry about me. I'm fine. I've got this. I'm doing it on my own, and I feel great about it. But inside, we feel lonely. We're hurting. We feel like there's nothing for us to go forward to. And Jesus is simply saying, I want you to be transparent with me. I want to know how you're feeling. I want to know the situation. I want you to talk to me about it. Because I already know. I want to be the person you come to. But again, it comes down to a you decision. I can't make you be transparent. Your youth pastors can't make you be transparent. It is a decision that you have to make. But I want to tell you that in Romans 5:8, Jesus says this, or Paul says this about God. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Meaning when we were still messing up, when we were in the middle of our mess, when we were doing the things we're not supposed to do, he saw us and said, I choose to die for them because I love them. Because I want a relationship with them, because I want to get to know them. I want to be transparent with them. I want to have an encounter with them. I want them. I don't care what they're going through. I don't care that they messed up. I don't care that they're hurting. I just love you.
She didn't deny it. She owned it. Like, she was like, okay, he knows everything. But you know what? That, in that moment, nothing about the story changed. Jesus didn't change his perspective on her. He didn't change his love for her. And nothing about his mentality towards her changed. Jesus loved her in the middle of her mess. He knew she wasn't perfect at the well, and he still went and had an encounter with her on purpose. Jesus is not expecting you to have everything together. He's not expecting you to have everything figured out. He's not expecting you to never have a doubt or never make a mistake before you come and have a relationship with him. He knows that's not how it works. We live in a broken world. And you know what? That doesn't change his perspective of you. That doesn't change his love for you. And I'm going to read Romans 8:31. And I'm going to read through 39. I'm reading out of the message. And I love, love, love the way it was worded. And we tried to pick it apart a little bit. But just listen to these words. It says, so what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? We are all God's chosen. You are God's chosen. Okay? So when the devil starts feeding you with doubt and fear and stress, we have to remind ourselves. We have to renew our mind. We have to say, you know what? You don't get to be in my thoughts. You don't get to be in my head because I am a chosen child of God. The Bible says it. God's word is true, and that's what I'm going to stand on. The one who died for us, who raised us, who was raised to life for us in the presence of God at this very moment, is sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. No trouble, no hard times, no hatred, not hunger or homelessness or bullying threats, not about backstabbing or even the worst sins listed in Scripture. There's nothing that you could ever do or say that is going to make God value you less. There's nothing that you've already done or experienced that has tarnished his love or his viewpoint of you. That's not how it works. God said that you were worth it. He sent his son and he didn't regret it. There's nowhere in the Bible that it says that God sent his son and then he regretted it later. That's not what God's word said. God's word says that God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you even when he knew that we were going to mess up. It says nothing of this phases us because Jesus loves us. And I'm absolutely convinced that nothing living or dead or angelic or demonic, today or tomorrow, high or low, thinkable or unthinkable, absolutely nothing can get between us and God's love because of the way that the Master has embraced us. Nothing is going to change Jesus' viewpoint of you. You cannot outlove Jesus and you can't outrun him either because he is coming to have an encounter with you.
So the first thing we talked about was the encounter that you have to choose to say yes to the encounter. The next thing we talked about is to be transparent, and that you have to say yes to being transparent. The next thing we want to talk to you about is taking initiative. I know that sounds kind of crazy when we've been talking about the simplicity of it's you that decides, but it is simply, are you willing to take the initiative? See, Jesus is here meeting with you right now. And I know he's talking
to you guys. And that still small voice inside of you is talking. Now you might say, no, that's just my brain going. But I hate to break it to you. That's Jesus having that conversation with you. And he's saying, I want to be transparent. I want to have an encounter with you. Would you let me in? Would you let me speak to you? Would you allow me to love you like I want to? But it starts with taking initiative.
It talks about in Revelation, it says, Revelation 3:20, it says, look, I stand at the door and knock. If you hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. Jesus is, he's speaking to your hearts. We've been praying for it for weeks. That when you guys came in this room, and you experience God's presence, and you sit and you take in worship, and you feel God speak to your heart. We've been praying that you would not sit and ignore it. That when you have that encounter with Jesus, and he's saying, hey, I don't care about the mess. I don't care about your past. I'm not worried about any of that because I have a hope and a future for you. I'm not worried about how messy it was because I know how promising it can be. Because I have a hope and a future for you. I have a purpose for your life. And there are so many times that we can sit in isolation and we can get ourselves thinking that there's not a purpose for us, that God doesn't have a plan for us, or that we've messed up so much that there's no way that God could fulfill that plan in our hearts now. And that's simply not true. That's a lie from Satan, and that is not true. God loves you. You are still worth it to him. In James 4:8, it says, come close to God, and God will come close to you. You know, maybe you're sitting in here tonight, and you're like, you know what? I know that God's speaking to my heart. I've been really uncomfortable this whole night, to be quite honest. I know that God's speaking to me, and I know that there are things in my life that aren't pleasing to God. There are things in my life that I need to give to God. There's hurt and there's anger and there's confusion and there's frustration, and I need to give those things over to him. And I'm just not sure how to even go about it. But it takes a step, right? It takes initiative. If we step close to him, he's going to meet us there. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's not going to say, oh, actually, you need to take 15 steps towards me until you get things a little straightened out, and then I'll come meet you there. That's not how God works. God says, if you open the door, if you come close to me, then I'm going to come close to you. And just like when those kids came up and they said, I'm so thirsty, I could drink a whole Gatorade. If they would have come up here and the Gatorade was sitting in front of them, but they didn't open the Gatorade, they would have stayed thirsty. They wouldn't have been fulfilled of that need in their life. And some of us are sitting in here, and you came in here and you had a thirst and a hunger for God and you didn't even realize it. But now God is right here and he's encountering you and he's right in front of you. And you can choose to walk away. Or you can say, you know what? Again, I'm so much of Jesus that I never want to be thirsty again. I never want to feel hopeless again. I never want to feel alone again. And when you are in those moments, Jesus doesn't leave you. When you doubt, Jesus doesn't leave you. He's in that moment with you. And when we're transparent with him and we draw near to him, we take initiative to say, you know what, God? I don't have it all together. And I don't know all the answers. But what I do know is that you love me. You have a purpose and a plan for my life, and you chose me and you don't regret it. Jesus does not regret choosing you. I don't know who needs to hear that because that was not in our notes, but it's on my heart. Jesus does not regret it. There are people that might have chosen you, and they may say that they regret spending time with you, or they regret being around you, or they regret having you or having a relationship with you, but Jesus will never regret what he did for you. Jesus will always say that you're worth it. No matter what you do or how far you run, he does not regret it. He does not regret his sacrifice for you. He does not regret coming to earth and giving up everything for you. Even when we mess up, he says, you know what? You were worth it. You were worth it, and I would do it again and again and again to have a relationship with you because I love you so much. So then we have to make a choice.
So we started tonight asking the question, are you thirsty? And we're going to end tonight asking that same question. Are you thirsty? Are you ready to say yes to the encounter? Are you ready to be transparent? And if so, are you ready to take the initiative? This is what I want. And I'm changing up just a little bit. I want you to close your eyes and bow your head real quick. And I simply want you to ask yourself, am I ready? Am I ready to say yes to the encounter with Jesus? Am I ready to say yes to being transparent with Jesus? If you're ready for that encounter and you're ready for that transparency, I'm simply going to ask you to throw your hand in the air. Nobody's looking around. The next thing I want you to do, and I know your hand's up, and that was a bold step, but I want you to take another step of initiative. If your hand is up and you're ready to say, I am ready for my encounter with Jesus, I'm ready for my life with Jesus, I want you to stand up and I want you to come down to this altar.